The topic today is the art of mind control. But I think all of us know that it's probably the most difficult thing to do. And in the Vedic scriptures, it is stated that the term control and mind don't actually coexist because it's almost impossible to control the mind. But we're using the word control anyway to understand this very volatile organ that you and I can't put really a finger to, because it is subtle, and yet it is very powerful. What I will share with you is actually not anything from myself, but what I have gleaned from scriptures in the Hindu faith, in the Vedic culture. You will also find that a lot of what is being spoken is actually quite universal, because the ideas are the same. And in fact, even if we were to discuss this on a secular level, you find a lot of the points that we bring up actually make complete sense. But I wanted to start actually this discussion on mind with a verse and a story, because stories are always easier to grasp than just philosophical concepts. This is a verse actually from a very famous scripture in Hinduism known as Srimad Bhagavatam. It's known as the Bhagavad Purana. And this is the verse that I'm taking actually. The verse actually concerns an elephant. And some of you who were here the last time would have briefly heard about his story. The verse is very beautiful. Evam vyavasito buddhya samadhaya manohriddhi drijapa paramam japyam prag janmani anushikshitam. Vyavasito means fixed. Buddhya means intelligence. Samadhaya manohriddhi, fixing the intelligence perfectly. Mano means mind, riddhi means heart. Jajapa means to chant, parama means highest, japya means mantra, prag janmani means in previous birth, and anushikshita means practiced. That's the rough idea, right? Now, translation is very nice. The translation says, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind in his heart with perfect intelligence. He chanted a mantra that he had learned from his previous birth as Indradyumna, and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. Before you go, don't worry. I've made copies of this verse. You'll all take it back. You can always keep it. No issues. So this is the verse that we're looking at, because this verse tells us something about the mind that's very important. But in order to understand that, it's good to understand a bit of background about who this Gajendra is. Gajendra is known as the king of the elephants, right? And what's interesting here is, for those of us who have understood Hinduism, you'll find that the concept of previous life and reincarnation is very predominant. And this story is actually premised on that. The story goes that there was a king in South India, and he was known as Indradyumna. He was a pious king, very devoted to a higher cause. At the same time, he was very, very exemplary in his material duties. As he neared the what we call retirement age, he put aside more time to meditate and fix his mind on the Supreme. And as he did that, he actually entered into what we call a retirement ashram. There he meditated, and he spent a lot of time away from his material duties because he had done them enough. One day when he was very absorbed in meditation and prayers, a sage known as Agastya comes into the ashram. And when he comes in, he wants to speak to Indradyumna, and he expects some kind of reception, naturally, because he's an elderly personality, he's also a very spiritual personality. Unfortunately, Indradyumna is so caught up in his meditation and so caught up with fixing his mind deep in thought, deep in consciousness, that he forgets to see that Agastya has come. It happens to us sometimes. You know, if you're very absorbed with something and I see you and I say hi and you're just so fixed up with something, what happens? You may not even acknowledge me. And then if I'm sensitive about it, I think, oh, you know, what's wrong with him? He's so rude to me. Things like that happen. They happen all the time. Agastya got a bit upset. you know, no, not a bit upset. He got very upset. Because what happened was, he decided that here is a king. He's supposed to be exemplary. He's supposed to get up and receive me as a guest. But he's still seated oblivious to me. I'm going to give him a curse. In those days, there were very great, powerful personalities who had the ability to curse. I'm not saying we don't, but thankfully and hopefully we don't do that because it's not a very nice thing to do. But in the days of Vedic culture, they were so powerful that just by a power of mantra or by curse, it could actually come through. So Agastya Muni cursed Indradyumna. He said, because of your neglect of me, and because of the way you are seated, as if you are stone, because of your not using your intelligence and your mind to receive me, I curse that you become no better than an elephant. So Indradyumna, who was peaceful, not doing anything, didn't know what happened, found that he was suddenly turned into an elephant in his next life. Next life. Now, as an elephant, you're not expected to have the kind of consciousness that a human being has. So what happened to Indradyumna? He became Gajendra. Gajendra became king of the elephant just like he was king of a state. But unfortunately for him, he had no recollection of his previous life. He did not. And while he did not have recollection of his previous life, naturally as an elephant, he just enjoyed himself as all animals do, you know. And the level of enjoyment Bhagavatam describes was very sensual. It was on the plane of the senses. So for many years, Gajendra was oblivious to the fact that once upon a time, somewhere, somehow, he was a great king. And he enjoyed one day in the mountains known as the Trikuta Mountains. And there he was sporting with his wives, his children, his generals, his friends, and they were all beside a very large lake. They entered the lake, and there they started making a lot of noise and creating distractions. You know how elephants are when they enter the lake. Now, once they entered the lake, the story goes, they disturbed the resident of the lake, who happened to be a huge crocodile. The crocodile didn't like the fact that, look, this is my town, my house, my territory. You come in and cause disturbance. I don't like that. So I'm going to do something. The crocodile decided that I'll catch the leader and teach him a lesson that he will not forget. So the crocodile caught hold of Gajendra's right leg, right front leg, and he held it very tightly. And he held it so tightly, it was like a vice-like grip that refused to budge. Gajendra initially thought he got stuck in a branch or a log or something. Being very, very powerful, you know, in strength, he thought, I'll just push it away. But the more he tried, the worse it got. And after a while, Gajendra realized, this is not going to go away. This is one problem that looks like it's going to stay. So at that point of time, Gajendra then started calling his friends. Can you help me? I've got something stuck at my leg. And then they realized it was a crocodile. None of the generals and friends could release Gajendra from the grip of the crocodile. They pulled him, they tried pulling the crocodile, but it refused to let go. It refused. After a while, all his attempts were futile. And Bhagavatam says he struggled for 1,000 years. 1,000 years of his lifetime. It is believed that in the other ages, man and animals lived a lot longer than we did. Time is relative. So the story goes that he had 1,000 years of struggle and it ended in failure. He never got out of it. His wives decided after a while, I can't wait for a husband who's stuck in the water. I need some protection. I need some cooperation. I need someone to help me. So the wives one by one said, goodbye, Gajendra. We can't wait for you. The children said, Papa, we like you very much. But you know what? You're no fun to be with anymore. You look like you're going to have trouble, so let me go. So they also left. His friends and his generals, you know, said, you used to be called Gajendra, the king of the elephants. We thought you were invincible. Unfortunately, today we realize, after 1,000 years, you're not. So I think we have to move also. And we have to find someone else to take charge of the tribe of elephants. All right. So everyone left him. And as the story ends, or rather, as his calamity and his reversal begins, Gajendra starts thinking. And there are one or two very nice verses in that scripture where Gajendra's psychology is given. And what does he start thinking? He says, I'm in a precarious, life-threatening situation. No one can offer me solace. And frankly, factually, no one is going to help me now. It's not their fault. They can't help me. And Gajendra then said, this reversal in my life is happening because of the will of providence, not because of anyone. So what Gajendra did that was positive was, he didn't do the blame game.